For those of you that are watching online today, I want to mention to you that on our webpage, the newest bulletin is there. And so in that newest bulletin, you can see the announcements, which are kind of few and far between these days, but you can also see the prayer focus. And so I would encourage you to take a look sometime during the week. On the webpage, you will find the newest newsletter, you will find the newest, latest bulletin, and just be reminded of those friends, those brothers and sisters of ours that could use your prayers. And so remember that many of ours are going through this cancer journey in treatments and trying to recover. Their names are all there. Please remember them. Many are struggling with other things. You can see on that newest bulletin that some in our midst have lost their family, their loved one. And so please take a look at that and remember to pray for those, our family, who are still struggling with cancer, loss of a loved one, recovery from surgeries, and all these other things. Please remember to pray for them. Let's go to the Lord and pray now. God, our Father, we are so thankful. Today we celebrate the risen Christ. We're reminded of the empty tomb, and we celebrate that fact. And so, Father, thank you, as people have joined in Facebook Live this morning, in the comfort of their homes, in the safety of their homes. And I pray again that your spirit would be with everyone. I know that you are here with us this morning in your spirit, and I pray that your spirit would visit and comfort and be with each and every person that is celebrating and worshiping you in their homes today. I do pray, Father, for the names on those prayer lists. Many of ours, our church family, our friends, are still in that cancer journey. Will you continue to comfort and strengthen and guide them, O Lord? Some in our family have lost their spouses, their moms, their brothers in the last little while. And we pray that you would comfort them and encourage them. Some are healing from surgeries. Some, perhaps, are healing from COVID-19. And certainly in our region, there are those that are afflicted by that. We pray for them this morning, Father, and ask that you would be with each and every one. Father, I just pray this morning as we're reminded again about the resurrection, the fact, the reality, the truth of Jesus Christ, yes, completely dead, and yes, arose from the dead. I pray that we absorb that beautiful truth this morning, meditate on it, be reminded of it, and are satisfied completely. It's all real. And so, Lord, visit us by your Spirit today as we look at Scripture and are reminded of the empty tomb. I pray this in all things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I think it's safe to say that this experience that we're having this morning on Easter is a bit different than we can ever recall before. As Sherry and I got here some time ago this morning, I was thinking about all the Easters when I was a young person. My mom and dad would take us to church. When Sherry and I were married, we'd go to church. When our children came along, we'd take them to church. All these years, we've gathered together for Easter. I mean, we gather on Sundays beside that, but Easter is it's an important day. And I'm thinking about all these years. I'm over 60 years old, and how many Easters have I missed? Not too many. I don't think I've missed too many. And I'm not missing today, but I tell you what I am missing. I'm missing the folks that would have loved to have been here in these empty chairs today. I am missing you. I am so thankful that some of my family, you've seen Charles already, you've seen my wife and Mary and some of our family singing to you. I'm so thankful for the few that are here, but we miss you amongst what would have been full services this morning. So, we see this Easter as a little different. The buildings are empty. Celebrations are different. And let me say this, people, because of COVID-19 or other things, people are still in despair, people are still anxious, and in some cases, people are still hopeless. A little like the disciples that morning, in despair and anxious and seemingly hopeless. Now, as I said, I would be the first to admit, I would love to see the church overflowing with happy people come to celebrate the empty tomb. And we miss that atmosphere this morning. However, we've said this all along. We've not been in church now collectively, corporately, for a month. The church is not the building. The church is the people of Jesus. And so, on this morning, when we celebrate the empty tomb of Jesus the Christ, the church, you and your homes, or wherever you're at listening today, can celebrate this resurrection morning all over again. And so I want to say thank you for joining us, as Charles already has. Thank you for joining us via Facebook Live this morning. Some of you perhaps will be listening to the sermon on the webpage later. Thank you for joining in. Let me just say this to begin with, and then I'll move forward. In several earlier sermons this spring and late winter, a lot of you were here, I was talking about things like ravenous wolves that Jesus talked about, destroying the people of God, the sheep of God, the church. And I was talking about another gospel that Paul warned the church at Corinth about. And I was talking about church leaders who were leading to appease and tickle ears. Paul talks about that to his young spiritual son Timothy, about tickling ears rather than proclaiming the whole gospel. And so I was doing all of that in prior sermons this late winter and spring, and I was doing it for a reason. Not to puff myself up, I mentioned that to you on several occasions, but to enlighten us to the fact, and now listen to me good, because I've said this before, I'm going to say it again this morning. I've done this for a purpose, to enlighten us to the fact that if we get the gospel of Jesus Christ wrong, we've got the whole gospel wrong. If we get the deity of Jesus Christ wrong, we've got the whole gospel wrong. He is fully God and fully man. And so if we do not subscribe to Jesus as the incarnate God, we have got the gospel wrong. And the same thing with the resurrection. If we do not see the resurrection of Jesus the Christ as real, we are missing the truth of this gospel. And so this all goes together. This whole series that we have been on here for some time. If you've got your Bible, I'm going to encourage you to open it up to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Not sharing from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John this morning, although they're all wonderful, wonderful stories about the empty tomb. There's so many good things from Matthew and different things from Luke and John, and I encourage you, as I did Good Friday night, read them all. They're beautiful, beautiful stories. But I'm asking you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. I'm going to pick it up at verse 12. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this: Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, let me just interject here, friends. That was the gospel from the disciples, from Paul, Apollos, Barnabas. That was part of the gospel. When they proclaimed to them the Christ, part of the gospel, the beauty of it, the power of it was exactly what he said. He has been raised from the dead. That was part of their message to all of them. The Christ, the Messiah, the Emmanuel, he has been here. And all of these early professors of Christ, these professors of faith in Christ, these proclaimers of Jesus, they all talked about the resurrection. And so Paul is writing to the church at Corinth this morning, this letter. He says, now if Christ has preached that he has been risen from the dead, because that's what they were doing. He's speaking to the church now, bear in mind. How do some among you say, there's no resurrection of the dead? We've been telling you that Christ has come. And part of this whole gospel message, part of this whole picture is, Christ died for our sin. And part of that picture, Paul says, he rose from the dead. Pastor Charles had a good post on our webpage this week about the Apostles' Creed. When we memorize that, many of you have memorized that, and it says he was dead and buried and descended into Hades. And Pastor Charles elaborated on that, and simply put, he died. He really died. And part of the gospel is he rose from the dead. And as we sang and Charles said, I say, hallelujah. He rose from the dead. And Paul preached that. Peter, John, James, all the rest preached he raised from the dead. And Paul comes to Corinth today in this letter and he says, what in the world? This is Jim's paraphrase. Now back to the Bible. How do some among you say there's no resurrection of the dead? He's talking to the church. Now I don't know if these were converted Sadducees, because they didn't believe, they didn't subscribe to that. I don't know if this was Gentiles. I don't know if this was people in the church who just said, you know what, I believe the Messiah was here, but I'm not sure I believe that whole resurrection stuff. But obviously somebody in the church was saying there is no resurrection. Verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is empty also. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise, if, in fact, the dead do not rise. Do you see the argument he's laying out there? How important is it for us to understand the resurrection? How important is it for us to grasp that, to absorb that, to subscribe to that? He was dead, but not on this day. On this day, the tomb is empty. Not because, as Matthew's account said, because the disciples come along, beat up the guards, rolled away the stone, and stole him. He's alive because he said he was going to raise from the dead. He's alive because he literally, physically rose from the dead. And Paul has got this argument going on. He's painting this picture, if you will. What in the world are some of you talking about when we have told you all along he rose from the dead? Why is it now you're saying there's no resurrection of the dead? We'd be a bunch of false prophets if we told you he raised from the dead and there was no resurrection. We'd be a bunch of liars. He goes on. Look at how important it is in the faith equation to understand and subscribe to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at the equation. If Christ is not risen, verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep, that's died, in Christ, they've just perished. If Christ is not risen from the dead, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, We are of all men the most pitiable. In other words, I think it's the NIV that says to be pitied above all men. Why? Because we're subscribing to some ridiculous notion that he rose from the dead. If he didn't rise from the dead, we would just be a bunch of miserable, pitiful people. If we only put our hope in while he was here and not the resurrection part. Verse 20. But now, oh, I love that but. Those so oftentimes in scriptures, that but is a changing, a fulcrum point, if you will, a pivotal point, a going the other way, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah! Paul says it again because they've been preaching this. He says that in the verse that we started with. We have been preaching to you, proclaiming to you, the tomb is empty because Christ raised from the dead. And he has that little argument going on in between about some thoughts that are going on. And then he makes his statement, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And I'll simply put, he is the first one that will never die again. Let me interject here. Let me change courses just for a little bit. Stay with me. I got a method to my madness. I read an article a while back from the Christian Post. I'm going to give you the name of the article in case you want to follow up and read it yourself and see that I'm just not trying to pull your leg. But it's under Christian Post. They got a lot of good articles. I think it's valid. I don't think it's fake news. I think they're valid. And the article was this: record low number of Americans hold biblical worldview. Well, let me say it again in case you want to write it down and you want to verify it for yourself sometime. Record low number of Americans hold biblical worldview. This was posted on the Christian Post. The information that was in this article comes from an organization called American Worldview Inventory. Not completely unlike the Barna Research and the Pew Research. George Barna is actually part of this organization, but this information from this article comes from American Worldview Inventory. So I'm going to get to that in a second. Over the course of the last couple years, I have been talking to us about this category of people in America called the nones. N-O-N-E-S. I think you'll recall I've been talking about that. This phenomenon of the nones, it's a group of people getting very, very large, as a matter of fact, in America that would say we have zero religious affiliation. They're called the nones, N-O-N-E-S. So I've mentioned that to us for a while, off and on, just to make us aware that the number of nones, no religious affiliation in America anymore, that's growing. I've mentioned that to you, and I interject that in here to go along with this article. Now I'm back to the article, because this article is not talking about them. This article speaks to those who would say they are Christians. And this article highlights another new term. I've talked to us about the nones. This article highlights a new term. It's called the notional Christian. And in this article, George Barna did this research that provided for the article. The notional Christian. These would be Americans who claim to be Christian. Now listen to me very closely. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm quoting the article. these would be Americans who would claim to be Christian but do not profess to know Jesus Christ personally as Savior and Lord. You see the difference there. Claim to be Christian but do not profess to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And in the article, in the research, 54% of the American population falls into the notional Christian category. 54%. Yes, I'm Christian. I'm as Christian as the next. But at the same time, do not know Jesus Christ personally as Savior and Lord. That term now is called notional Christian. You still with me? I hope that you are. I can't get much feedback here. When there's only three people in the sanctuary, I'm looking, I'm wondering, are you still with me, brothers and sisters, from your homes? 54%, according to this article and according to this research, of Americans quantified as notional Christians. I am a Christian, I call myself a Christian, and yet do not profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 54%. The nuns category, 22.8%, and it's growing. The nuns would be those that have no religious affiliation, but in that 22.8% is also the agnostics and atheists. Those numbers are growing. So anybody that has had basic math, like I have, and can still do help my second graders, not my eighth graders in math, but I can help second graders because I know still pluses and minuses, that quickly translates to 77% of Americans are either nuns or notional. You say, Jim, okay, I can still do plus and minus, and I can still come up with 23% left in America. That's true. 23% of Americans are left. Some would claim to be Muslims. Some would claim to be Buddhists. Some would claim to be evangelical, born-again, passionate followers of Jesus. Here's my point. Stay with me, brothers and sisters, because I'm going to go back to what Paul said to the church in Corinth in a minute. Here's what the article said. In their research, and asking lots and lots and lots of people, they found 6% of Americans possess a biblical worldview. 6%. Okay, I've told you 54%. Yeah, I'm Christian. But don't even claim Christ as Lord. 23% are saying, I'm nothing. Don't bother me with religion because I'm nothing. That only leaves 23% left, and some of those are other religions. According to this research, in America, they have found that only 6% of Americans possess a biblical worldview. Let me break that down just a little further. We would call ourselves in this denomination, or not, I shouldn't say denomination, this congregation and denomination, I guess that would be accurate too. We would call ourselves an evangelical church, evangelical Christians. In their research, they found that even among those that are in an evangelical church like ours, and many others around us, even among those who attend evangelical churches, only 20% have a biblical worldview. That means in churches just like ours, I'm not saying it is ours, but I'm saying in this research, in researching thousands of Americans who are in churches, in a church like ours that we would call an evangelical church, only 1 in 5 subscribe completely to a biblical worldview. 1 in 5. 20%. And it gets worse. Their research found that in charismatic or Pentecostal churches, only 16% of those in those churches would possess a biblical worldview. And it gets worse again. Of those in mainline Protestant churches, I don't need to name names. I think we can figure out that. But according to the research, in mainline Protestant churches, only 8% hold a biblical worldview. 8% that are in churches. Now, I know it's Easter morning, and we're supposed to be celebrating the empty tomb. And so I know by this time you've probably had to go get a drink of water like I need. And you're probably thinking, what in the world has this got to do with anything? I'll be with you in a moment. It all goes back to that verse that I read, verse 12, and the message that I've been sharing throughout this late winter and spring. Listen to me really closely, brothers, sisters, friends, and people, whoever are listening to this, this morning or later, tomorrow, whenever. If we get the deity of Jesus Christ wrong, we've got the whole gospel wrong. I've been saying that, and I've said it already this morning, but if we get the deity of Jesus, if we do not subscribe to Jesus as incarnate God, fully God, fully man, we have got the gospel wrong. And many, I shared with us, have that wrong. Now listen to me about the resurrection. If we do not see the resurrection of Christ as real, we have the gospel wrong again. Do you see what he said? He said to them in verse 12, "We have preached to you Christ is resurrected from the dead." And how is it in this church in Corinth, some of you are still saying, "Nah, we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead." This is why it all comes together. This is what I'm talking about. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Listen to me real good. The fact that Jesus of Nazareth was actually God incarnate, fully God, fully man. The fact that he was born of a virgin. The fact that he died on that Roman cross, shed his blood for our sin. The fact that he rose up from the dead, the tomb is empty. These are facts. And brothers and sisters, according to what Paul was saying to that church at Corinth, and according to this research in America today, that's not that popular anymore. That's why I talk about these to bring it all together. There were those in the church in Corinth when they had been told, Jesus has been here. He has died on the cross for our sin. The Messiah has been here. And he died. We saw him dead. And he rose from the dead. And yet people are not subscribing to the fact that he rose from the dead. Why, Paul said to the church in Corinth, are you not subscribing to that fact? Because we told you it's real. And when I read articles like this, one in five in evangelical churches in America, only one in five subscribe to a biblical worldview. Something is missing. The facts that Jesus rose from the dead, it's just not that popular anymore. My whole late winter and early spring effort, friends, regarding false teachers and ravenous wolves and ear ticklers and all that stuff, was to simply ask us whether we, part of this congregation, we're listening by Facebook Live or whatever, was to simply ask us, what is it that you believe? What is it that you embrace by faith? Is it that the Christ, fully God, fully man, hung on that cross, died for my sin, rose from the dead, I have subscribed completely to him? Or is it something less than that? Because apparently, in that church, and apparently in America, it's something less than that for most of the population. Please listen to me real close, friends. We have got to figure out what it is we believe. To say, but I believe in God, Jim. I've had people tell me that by the hundreds. Is only a prelude to being right with God. John chapter 3, Jesus said to the guy that said, I believe in God. Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. To say, well, I believe in God, Jim, is wonderful, but it's a prelude to Jesus where he asks us to get. To say, I'm Christian, means nothing if we haven't been born again. God looks at the heart. To say, well, I go to church and yet do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, something is still missing. To say and even rationalize and argue, well, I'm a good person, Jim, will count for nothing on Judgment Day if we have not surrendered fully to the Christ, the one that died and rose from the grave. To say all of these things are arguments. This Jesus, this incarnate God, part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead, this Jesus, born of a virgin, died on a Roman cross, rose again from the dead, victorious over the grave, as Charles prayed, over the devil, over sin. This Jesus is the only way to be part of the kingdom of God now and the kingdom of heaven forever. This is not about religion. This is about relationship with the living God, our Heavenly Father, through a surrendered faith in Christ, who He is, God in the flesh, who died, who bled for my sin, who died and rose from the dead. This Jesus is the only way to be connected to God the Father. God, in His grace, John 3:16 wraps it all up, sent us His Son. To bridge the gap, I said this Friday night, from a sinful people to a holy God, He sent Jesus. And for us to say, well, he's just some good old boy, or well, he's just another prophet, or well, he's a small g God, or well, he didn't raise from the dead, is missing part of the gospel. And that's what Paul said. How is it that we can preach to you he is raised from the dead, and yet somebody in the church is still saying, nah, he didn't raise from the dead. I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Friends, this is serious stuff. Until you and I have surrendered our lives completely to the one who left the splendor and glory of heaven, born of a virgin, laid in a manger, taught us, instructed us, shed His blood for us, and rose from the dead. Until you and I have surrendered completely to Him and believe in these things, we're not where we need to be. This is not religion, this is relationship. I'm going to try to wrap this up because time is getting away and I want our singers to lead us in these songs again, these beautiful songs, just to meditate on them. But I love what Paul wrote in the church at Romans, at Rome, to the church, we call Romans. when he said in chapter 10, and you can find this in your Bibles, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9 and 10, I love these verses. Paul says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, that's where it's got to start, friends. We have to proclaim Jesus is Lord for me. That, you know what that means? That means Jim's got to get off the throne. And so do you. But it goes further. And here's what I love about it, and here's how it goes along with today. That if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. You see, that is part of the faith equation. If I don't subscribe to Jesus being raised from the dead, I'm missing part of the faith equation. If we confess with our mouth, and if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, Paul says you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. This resurrection of the dead, it can't be minimized. It can't be swept under the rug and say, yeah, I kind of think the whole Jesus thing is real. Matter of fact, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about the whole resurrection of the dead. We can't exclude the resurrection of the dead. It's part of our faith equation. Let me say this to close. I've said this many, many, many times. Friends, I am in no way, shape, or form here to condemn anybody. It's not my role. But I am here to enlighten. And so please hear me while I wrap this up. Just going to church, just saying I'm a Christian, just saying, well, I believe in God, is a prelude to where Jesus asks us to get with a surrendered faith in him. I don't know where you're at in your faith today. Praise team, come on up here, and I'll try to stay 6 feet away from you. I know you're 6 feet away from each other. I don't know where you're at today, friends. If you would fall into that notional category, or you would be the 1 in 5, or you'd be in the 4 in 5, I'm not here to judge. All I'm saying is we need to get it right. We need to get it right as to understanding who is Jesus. We need to get it right in understanding he is and was God in the flesh, who died for our sin, who bled and suffered for me, for us, who went into that grave and he rose physically from the dead. We need to get it right. We need to surrender completely to him. Our lives. And we need to put him first. And I don't know where you're at with that today. But along with our celebration of the empty tomb, friends, if you have not surrendered completely to Christ, if he is not first, if you are in the notional category, or maybe even in the none today, why would you gamble with that? We're talking about eternity. You say, Jim, I'm not sure you're even right about all this stuff. I could be wrong. But I happen to believe the Bible. And if we discount this, discredit it, or never do anything about Jesus, and we die, and this was all true, we've lost everything forever. We've lost it all for eternity. Why would you gamble with that? We're going to sing these songs again. I asked them to sing the two praise team songs that are praise hymns that we sang earlier because they're such beautiful, beautiful songs for today, this season. And we're also going to sing another hymn that's a beautiful, beautiful song written by Bill Gaither 50 years ago. But while we're singing these songs, friends, I want you to ask yourself, am I really right with Jesus? Have I really completely surrendered to the Heavenly Father through faith in His Son who died for my sin? And so while we're singing these songs, you maybe just want to go to prayer and say, Father, forgive me. I've been doing things my own way, and I don't want to be a notional Christian. I sure don't want to be a nun. I want Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Come into my life. Forgive me and take control. While we're singing these songs, you just get alone with Jesus and say, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Please save me. Please forgive me. I give my life to you. Take over. And then let Charles or I know so we can encourage you, come alongside you, maybe help you with some literature, some Bible study stuff. But friends, celebrate the empty tomb by being sure you're ready for eternity, by being sure you've subscribed fully to Jesus the Christ, the one who died and rose again.
As our time comes to a close together, I just want to encourage you with that scripture passage that Pastor Jim shared with us, Romans 10. Would you do me a favor? Just go look at verse 11. It says, anyone who believes in Jesus will not be disappointed. Make that decision. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your Son Jesus. We praise You for Your redemption. We praise You that You send us Your Holy Spirit to empower us to live life that is victorious through Your Son Jesus. As we remember the story of the resurrection, we remember our baptism today as well. And we repeat those words of our baptism, that we renounce the works of Satan. Those chains are broken. Death has no longer a victory or a hold on us. Through Jesus, Your Son, we have victory and life. We can face tomorrow. We can have no fear. We can face uncertain times, all because Jesus lives. He reigns, and it has the authority. So we call upon the name of the Lord and just say, Jesus. We love You. We praise You. We adore You and give You thanks. Go with us now as we depart from this service together and take Jesus with us, and may He shine through us wherever we go. For it is in the name of the risen Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen.